Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
From the Land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason out of the office today, so no regular update of the commodity markets. This special program, we'll talk a bit about Granular. It's one of the big data companies. I caught up with a couple of the people that work with Granular at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in November of 2015.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
Let me take a moment as we get started for this day to remind you about some of our online programming and how you may use it over time. As you know, since 2003, University of Illinois and WILL have been posting Commodity Week as a podcast. It may be one of the very oldest podcasts on the planet. We're very proud of that. You can always pick it up and all the rest of our programming online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can look in the podcast section, or if you prefer and you just happen to use iTunes, search for either Closing Market Report or Commodity Week. You may be even able to search for my name, Todd Gleason, and you'll find the podcast there. You can listen to these programs online on your computer, on your phone, whether it's an Android and or a iPhone or other device that can connect to the internet of any type, including your iPad and other kinds of pads. So make sure you visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. All of our agricultural programming is posted to the content sections there not long after it airs on our radio stations. It's just part of the service that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. We've been putting this program together in its current iteration since 1985. It's all about farm broadcasting, commodities, and commodity prices, along with weather. So pick it up right there at willag.org. Again, the web address, willag.org. Do it right now. Do it online. Do it on your own convenience. For this 1 week, we'll add a regular feature to the Closing Market Report. We call it Trading Terms. Our term of the day is hedge as it relates to agricultural commodity price hedging. A typical hedger might be a commercial farmer, so the market value of wheat, for instance, and other crops fluctuates constantly as supply and demand for them vary, with occasional large moves in either direction. Based on current prices and forecast levels at harvest time, the farmer might decide that planting wheat, for instance, is a good idea one season, but the forecast prices are only that, forecast. Once the farmer plants wheat, he's committed to it for the entire season. If the actual price of wheat greatly rises between planting and harvest, the farmer stands to make a lot of unexpected money. But if the actual price drops by harvest time, he could be ruined. If at planting time the farmer sells a number of wheat futures contracts equivalent to his anticipated crop size, he effectively locks in the price of wheat at that time. The contract is an agreement to deliver a certain number of bushels of wheat to a specified place on a certain date in the future for a certain fixed price. The farmer has hedged his exposure to wheat prices. He no longer cares whether the current price rises or falls because he is guaranteed a price by the contract. He no longer needs to worry about being ruined by a low wheat price at harvest time, but he also gives up the chance at making extra money from a high wheat price at harvest time. However, in the case of a farmer, it must be noted that the hedge introduces another kind of risk. If the farmer has contracted to sell all his expected crop but then has a bad year, for instance, a year with lower than expected yields, such that his farm is not able to produce the committed quantity, he may have to purchase replacement crop at a disadvantageous price to fulfill his futures contract. And that's our trading term for the day, hedge, as it relates to agricultural commodities.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families for 100 years. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason out of the office today, so no update of the commodity markets. However, we do have a special program for you today all about big data, in particular about one company that is located here in Urbana-Champaign campus in Research Park. That's on the south end of the U of I campus. It's called Granular. I caught up with Augustina Sarcedota. She's the director of marketing for Granular. Granular, which is a San Francisco-based company, has opened an office space in Urbana-Champaign.
Yeah, we're very excited about it. This is this was a big grand opening for our office in Research Park. We have a lot of strong ties to the university, so it makes sense for us to have a physical presence there. From a customer standpoint, many of our customers are located in the Midwest, so we wanted to be closer, wanted them to have a place where they can come in for training, for education, for networking. And on the other hand, from a recruiting standpoint, it's really interesting for us to have access to a pool of talent that is familiar with the farming industry, have ag backgrounds, but are also technical and smart, and they're into engineering, they're into technology. And so from that standpoint, we have a ton of hires already, and so we just wanted to make that relationship a little bit more formal.
Which colleges do you hire from primarily on campus?
College of Engineering is probably our highest, most popular school.
You said you had a couple of different products. What are they?
So our primary product is Granular, the farm management software, which is a platform that enables growers to more easily manage their large operation by putting together agronomic, financial, and operational information in one piece. Acre Value is a product that we offer for free to anyone. It's a free farmland valuation tool that basically aggregates all publicly available data on farmland to give users a one easy place to access crop production history, productive capacity of farms, and in some cases in select states, an estimated valuation of each parcel of land.
We'll talk about Acre Value in just a bit, but let's talk about Granular, really what it can do for a producer. How does it work?
Essentially, it's a place that aggregates data for the farm automatically. What we're trying to do is replace a lot of the manual data entry that farmers are subject to, even for complex, large operations. A lot of these farms are super reliant on Excel, which is hard to update, hard to manage, very prone to error. And so what we want to do is have our growers put their crop plans in, their plans for the season, and then essentially just run the farm on Granular. So if you were to think of SAP as a big system for companies, we are the SAP for farms, where you put in your information at the beginning of the season, and then as the season progresses, inputs get applied, work orders get completed, everything gets updated in real time so that everyone on the farm can just log in easily and have access to information.
For those who don't know what SAP is, and I forget what the initials stand for, let's start there. Do you remember? I know what the program does. So the program is a way for companies, for instance, like Kraft Heinz in Urbana-Champaign, to be able to tell where products are in the line, where trucks are on the road, where anything that is an asset might be, including human capital, so that they can better produce more efficiently product lines. And you're doing that in a way for producers, but you're collecting the data, I think, directly in an input way that producers will find super simple and easy to use.
Yes, so what we're trying to do, the day-to-day aspect of farm management on Granular relies on a smartphone app. So everyone on the phone gets access, on the farm, sorry, gets access to the application, and essentially every field operator will mark their work orders complete or in progress as the day goes through, which eliminates a lot of like the two-way radio traffic, a lot of driving back and forth, a lot of telephone calls and texting, because at any given point, everyone knows what they're supposed to be doing and where. And because the phones are GPS enabled, we factor in specific field location data so that if, let's say, an employee is done applying fertilizer in this field, we'll say, well, it makes much more sense now for you to go to this field because you're here. And so a lot of the logistical and the communication challenges that are inherent in big operations are kind of eliminated. A lot of driving time is eliminated because your workforce is constantly updated. And then all that data flows back into the platform so that someone in the office can see, okay, Todd just did this on the farm. That's excellent. That means X for my inventory, for example. And everything is updated as the tasks are completed.
So excellent for real time. I'm in the farm, I'm working today, but at the same space, it also collects data from third party programs so that you're collecting information for farm management over the year.
Yeah, so what we'll do in terms of third parties is automatically integrate any data files that are produced by the combines, by the tractors, across the brands that farmers use the most. And then everything, again, gets put back together into one single platform. And then the grower decides who they want to share that data with. So for ag lenders, for crop insurance agents, they have the ability to create user-specific logins so that they have access to the information that they want to share without having to print, without having to drive and send. So it makes sharing a lot easier, and it just makes them much more professional, which then you can argue improves their access to land, improves access to capital, and just they're better equipped to grow and to present themselves in like an attractive way to potential partners.
Have to ask, why did this develop in San Francisco?
I think that's a really good question. We have our founders have different sort of agricultural backgrounds. But what we saw in San Francisco, Sid Gorham is our CEO and one of our co-founders. He has a long history in technology and startups. And he kind of figured out that from a farm management standpoint, agriculture has been kind of underserved in terms of technology. A lot of the investment that we've seen historically has been on the crop yield side of things, and he saw an opportunity to focus on the dollar yield side of things. And so in San Francisco, we're fortunate to work with the best developers at a very fast pace, and we just have access to that technical talent. And I think now with our office in Champaign, we can be also a lot more local. And so we're kind of bringing together the best of both worlds.
Is this web-based, meaning will it work on a PC, will it work on a Macintosh, will it work on an Android device, will it work on an iOS or Apple device?
Definitely. It works on all devices. There's no downloads. You go to the granular.ag, sign in from your phone, from your app, from your tablet, anywhere you are.
What's it cost?
The cost varies by acreage and by crop mix. We have a minimum contract of $15,000, but we don't have a minimum acreage. So that's probably kind of like our minimum bar.
And so what size producer really can afford to use the granular management, because it's fairly expensive on the front end side? They're certainly going to think that as a web-based product. How big do they really need to be to think about using granular on a grain and oilseed farm, corn and soybeans, in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska?
So it's difficult to say, kind of establish like a minimum acreage and say, well, you have to be at least X thousand acres. A lot of our growers buy granular for very different reasons, and they measure ROI in very different ways. So we have growers that are all about improving team communication and effectiveness, right? He doesn't want his team to be waiting in the office in the morning for him to develop and put out all the orders. Some others are all about controlling of data and being on top of everything at any given point. So it's more about what you want to get out of it and then and then kind of making the decision that way. In a sense, it is like an investment, but at the same time, you kind of get what you pay for. We're very sort of, one of the things that we've been trying to do with our new customers is help them understand that what you get today is not what you're going to get tomorrow. We release updates every quarter. We have training webinars. And so it really is software as a service versus a product.
So really what it sounds to me almost is if it's, I need a part-time office manager during the spring and the fall, potentially, so to help me organize where everybody is, or maybe I need a part-time comptroller to help me manage my books, but I can get both of those for an investment of $15,000 or thereabouts.
Exactly. One of the most frequently asked questions that we get is, do I need a dedicated person to run Granular? And the answer is the exact opposite. We make it easier. We don't want you to hire someone else. We don't want that person, the CFO or the bookkeeper, to spend more hours. It's in our experience, it's been the complete opposite. We have had customers that have said, I've been able to give my teams an extra day because they're much more effective. I can, especially during harvest right now, we're getting a lot of feedback saying, before I used to spend 20 hours a week in the office updating my harvest books. Now I spend 2 hours making sure that the ticket scales, the grain tickets and the truck tickets are all updated and it all flows. So it's quite the opposite. And that's the goal. That's our goal.
So maybe I can put it in different terms. Rather than hiring a part-time employee, it's more like buying a brand new piece of machinery, say a really nice auger wagon, that makes you more efficient on the farm.
Exactly. It's a longer-term investment. And I think a lot of the customers that we work with have figured out that if they don't do this today, they're not going to be able to compete in the future, right? Because agriculture is becoming a lot more competitive. It's about managing cost of production. It's about being sophisticated with data. And really what we want is our customers to use data for business decisions, right? Farming is a business and we just want it to make it easier. There's a ton of uncontrollable risks in agriculture. We're focused on the risks that you can minimize.
Augustina, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd. It was great talking to you.
Augustina Sacerdote is the Director of Marketing for Granular. Tamara Toschen is the General Manager of another one of their products. It's called Acre Value. I asked her what she does at Granular.
So I'm the General Manager of Acre Value, which is a product offered by Granular. It's used by farmers, landowners, investors, appraisers, really anyone in the industry to understand the value and the productive capacity of farmland. In shorthand, you can think of it as the Zillow for farmland. And perhaps the most unique feature about our site is our automated valuation model, which is similar to the valuations you see on Zillow around the estimated price of your home. We take all the public data around farmland, compute it in a model, and estimate the value of a piece of farmland. This model was originally developed by a data scientist at Granular out of Stanford, whose family owned some farmland in Iowa. And they were sort of sitting around the table trying to decide whether it was the right time to sell it. And they couldn't come to a conclusion because they didn't know what they could sell it for. And they tried to do some research to see what farmland values were in that area. They couldn't find any sources of information. So this data scientist, he developed a model. And so that's now what we publish on our site in 3 states, Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana. Across the U.S., however, you can access critical data about farmland, most importantly, soil maps. So you can see the distribution of different soil types across a field. You can also see the distribution of the expected productivity of those soils across a field. So PI in Illinois, CSR2 in Iowa, and then NCCPI is what we use in the other states. You can also see a history of the crops grown on that field, the crop mix over time.
If I wanted to, for instance, find a particular soil type and have you show it to me, let's say, Ipava, can you do that in
You cannot run queries around soil types. No, you can only select a particular piece of farmland that you're interested in and get data about that piece of farmland.
Where does all the data come from?
Sure. So the soil data comes from the NRCS. The crop history data comes from NASS. And then we bring in a lot of other different data sources that feed our model across weather, climate, field shape and size. We look at average yields in the area, average rent prices, average values that are survey-based from the USDA. We look at livestock demand, a lot of terabytes and terabytes of data from all these different sources.
All available for free? Why?
The data is available for free, or Acre Value? Acre Value is available. So the history of Acre Value, I mentioned where the model came from, but really we decided to invest more in this tool because, you know, the customers that use Granular, our farm management software, are really expansion oriented, and top of mind for them is how do I get more ground and at the right price. And so, you know, wanting to provide so the end-to-end management tools to allow them to make those decisions, we thought this data would be really useful to them, and thought while we're at it, why don't we make it available to the industry overall? It would benefit the industry to have a single site like a Zillow where you can go to get kind of all the public data on farmland. Now we will be continuing to build out our tools within our farm management software, quote unquote power user tools around Acre Value, where you can envision going in and saying, okay, if I was to rent versus buy this new piece of ground, how would it affect my profitability? Or I'm thinking about buying these, you know, three new parcels of farmland, how that affect my overall efficiency? Do I have enough capacity to farm those fields? How would this affect my overall profitability of my business? So that's really where sort of the paid component of this farmland analysis focus we have is going to come in.
So the free is Zillow sorts of things where you can go in and say, there's an 80 here, I just want to know what it might be worth because I'm thinking about it. But if you're a Granular user, it's hooked into the back end in the farm management side, and it will say, now that's 25 miles from where you live. That is not going to work in your, unless you're really big and you're already transitioning from one place to another. So it takes all those sorts of things and puts them into the back end Granular tool and makes it really part of the farm management system and a way to help producers manage their growth.
Exactly. You can think of Acre Value as providing a market price for farmland, and our farm management software allows, we can calculate what is it worth to you, to your specific operation.
What's the web address for Acre Value?
AcreValue.com.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Again, that web address is AcreValue.com. Tamara Toscan is the general manager of Acre Value for Granular. I spoke with her and Augustina Sarsadota, the director of marketing for Granular, at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in November of 2015. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support of the Friends of WILL and Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
It's National Quiche Lorraine Day. On this day in agricultural history, in 1862, President Abraham Lincoln signed the Homestead Act into law. It opened millions of acres of western land to settlers. The law allowed applicants freehold title to 160 acres of undeveloped land outside of the original 13 colonies. The new law required three steps: the filing of an application, improvement of the land, and filing for deed of title. Eventually, 1.6 million homesteads were granted, the last to Kenneth Deerdorf for a claim in Alaska. in 1988. In 1874, jeans with copper rivets are patented by Levi Strauss and Jacob Davis. For nearly 20 years, Levi Strauss & Company was the only company making riveted clothing until the patent expired around 1891. Thereafter, dozens of garment manufacturers began to imitate the original riveted clothing. In 1875, the International Bureau of Weights and Measures was created. In 1884, El Blue patented a hand corn sheller. And in 2005, Governor Jeb Bush signed a law making the orange the official state fruit of Florida. The orange blossom and orange juice were previously declared the official state flower and official state beverage. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You know, in July of 2015, many farmers were very concerned about the corn and the soybean crop because it had rained so very much in such broad areas across the Corn Belt. Mike Tenora at that time, again, this is July of 2015, talked to us a little bit about some historical context for rainfall in May and June, and the impact it has on the crops. His suggestion at that point was that as long as the August weather, and some of that in July, was pretty decent, that the corn and the soybean crops probably could fare very well and maybe even be very good crops, as that case happened to turn out for the 2015 crop. I thought you might like to listen to what he had to say. Again, this is from the very first week of July of 2015.
Well, this is where things do get interesting. If you look at U.S. corn and soybean yield since about 1960, and we like to start in 1960 because that's about the same time that the agricultural practices that we use today started to be used. Prior to 1960, the technology was a little bit too different to compare corn and soybean yields. But if we just start in 1960 and then we look at some of these wet May-June periods, we can pull out 11 that were similar, and those range anywhere from last year in 2014 all the way back into parts of the 1960s. But what we really want to know is how did soybean yields and corn yields turn out in those years? Well, the interesting thing is that three of those years had really bad corn yields. So three bad corn years out of 11 following a very wet May-June period, similar to this year, but again, this year will still have been wetter. The big finding, though, that we have is that those 3 years, which were 1993, 1995, and 2011, that had bad corn crops, all had bad weather in July or August. It wasn't just weather up till now that mattered. If you isolate 1995, some people may remember we had some extreme heat in July and more so in August of 95, which was detrimental to corn yields. That was on top of an early season freeze that occurred in September. In 2011, it just was warm throughout the entire growing season, and that kind of nipped yield potential. And in 1993, we had heavy rainfall similar to what we saw in June continue in July and then again in August. So just way too much water in 1993. But the point here is that you can still have an okay or even a good corn crop if weather cooperates from now forward, at least at the national level. In some of these areas that were extremely flooded over the last 3 to 4 weeks, they will always be dragging that U.S. corn yield down, but other areas can still make up for it, is what our finding tells us about corn. For soybeans, it's not too different. We just have a few other years that didn't turn out quite so well, one of those having been also in 2008. But again, in 2008 and in 1993 and 2011 and 1995, all these years we just talked about, weather always was unfavorable later in the year, in addition to having been unfavorable from May through June. So that's kind of what the point of our little research here is, that even though we haven't had a great start to the corn and soybean crop weather-wise, we can still get out of this mess if weather cooperates going forward.
That's Mike Tenor of T-Storm Weather. We talked with him back in July of 2015 about the very wet April, May, and June and the prospects it might have for crop conditions and yield in that year. I'm Todd Gleason.